From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Jennifer Pemberton. A lawsuit has been filed in Alaska claiming that the LuLaRoe clothing company unfairly collected sales taxes. LuLaRoe is known for soft stretch knit items like leggings and skirts. It's also a multi-level marketing company like Mary Kay or Herbalife, and customers can buy clothing from their friends who are representatives or from online sellers outside of Alaska. But LuLaRoe doesn't believe that that lawsuit is going to go anywhere. KTOO's Matt Miller has the story.
Juneau resident Karina Perry is wearing a pair of LuLaRoe leggings with a cool red and black triangle design. She owns several other pairs featuring octopus, fish, and other abstract designs. Perry says the texture was the big selling point.
That's how they market them, is buttery socks, actually.
Really?
Yes, yes.
Perry recalls that LuLaRoe leggings were a huge craze a few years ago. A lot of people sought out the limited designs to the point of making them collector's items like designer sunglasses or Air Jordan sneakers.
More than anything, it became a little competitive to get certain patterns.
Perry bought four pairs from a LuLaRoe seller in Juneau. She wasn't charged local sales tax for those. She also bought two pair from an Anchorage seller who added a total of $2.80 for sales and shipping taxes. Perry assumed those taxes went to Juneau, but she didn't know for sure. The receipt didn't specify who was collecting that tax. And she's not the only one who's confused about LuLaRoe's inconsistent sales tax collection policy. Other Alaskans suspect they were charged sales tax, even though Alaska doesn't have a statewide sales tax, and a lot of cities in Alaska, including Anchorage, don't have one either. Anchorage resident Katie Van was charged sales taxes on clothing she bought from outside of Alaska. She's now the plaintiff in a potential class action lawsuit.
The defendant knew what it was doing was illegal, but didn't take any steps to remedy it.
James Davis is an attorney with the Northern Justice Project, a private public interest law firm in Anchorage, which filed a lawsuit against LuLaRoe on behalf of Katie Van.
Our rough calculations are that the amount of illegal sales tax collected by the defendant is in the millions of dollars. So there's a lot of money that the defendant stole or illegally took from thousands of Alaska consumers by way of this purported Alaska statewide sales tax.
Davis says they want refunds of all unfairly collected taxes. They also want LuLaRoe to pay damages of $500 to each Alaskan buyer for each instance they were overcharged sales tax. LuLaRoe admits some customers were overcharged. They say a previous version of their sales tax automation software had trouble keeping track of 20,000 different taxing jurisdictions nationwide. But Stephen Graham, an attorney representing the company, says they fixed all that.
All that money is held in a segregated tax account. It's not profit. It's not money earned by LuLaRoe.
LuLaRoe also says they refunded millions of dollars of overcollected sales tax to all their customers. Over $255,000 were returned just to Alaskans. Largely because of those measures, Graham says a Pennsylvania judge already dismissed an identical lawsuit.
With the refund program that had been in place, and at that time fully developed, fully paid out, with everyone getting back literally 100% of their money without having to do anything, that was found to be a superior remedy.
LuLaRoe says Katie Van was already refunded over $530, and they're asking the judge to dismiss her case. Van's lawyer says she received small, unauthorized deposits, but she's not sure she got everything she was owed. She also didn't receive any interest or compensation for damages. The next hearing in the case is February 28th. If it moves ahead, then it could become a class action lawsuit in which all similarly affected Alaskan buyers of LuLaRoe clothing would essentially become plaintiffs in the case. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
The Southeast Conference Mid-Session Summit brought leaders together in Juneau this week to talk about the region's economy. Tourism has been a major driver of growth lately, and while that's good for the bottom line, it's also put pressure on the relationship between Juneau and the cruise ship industry. Despite that and the looming possibility of a legal appeal, representatives from the city and the industry insist they're working together to promote a strong visitor industry in Southeast Alaska. KTOO's Adeline Baxter reports.
Tourism is a bright spot in the Southeast economy. In fact, for the past 2 years,
It's been the region's largest private sector industry. Most importantly, unlike mining, fishing, and timber, it shows promise for continued growth. That's why a lawsuit between the cruise ship industry and the city of Juneau has been on the mind of every port community that relies on seasonal tourism. John Binkley is president of Cruise Lines International Association of Alaska, or CLIA, the group that brought the lawsuit against the city and borough of Juneau. He talked about his industry's focus on sustainability, protecting the environment tourists come to see, as well as the quality of life in the communities they visit.
So that we can sustain this industry and this economic engine, really, for Alaska and Southeast for many generations into the future.
The issue at the heart of CLIA's lawsuit is the passenger fees that Juneau collects from cruise companies and uses to pay for tourism infrastructure. Many Southeast port communities rely on a similar tax the state collects directly from passengers. Last month, Judge H. Russell Holland issued a final ruling. He said Juneau could continue collecting passenger fees, but that the revenue must be spent on services that benefit the ships. What that means exactly has already been a source of some debate between CLIA and the city. During a tourism session at the conference, Juneau City Manager Rory Watt tried to reassure other communities that the city and CLIA have a healthy working relationship.
And we were talking last night, we were talking about what's our message today, how do we coordinate our message, till 7 o'clock at night in my office, we actually do try to work together, contrary to our popular belief.
But he admitted that finding a solution both sides agree with isn't easy.
We have a little bit of a technical problem in the exact funding for the services that we provide. We do have some disagreements, for sure. But we were working hard to resolve those.
CLIA and CBJ realized the lawsuit has left other port communities uneasy. Watt and Binkley stuck to the message that they'll continue working together so the tourism industry remains strong. Here's Binkley again.
And I believe that that's what CBJ wants to do as well, to move forward not just for the benefit of CBJ, but all of the communities in Southeast.
An appeal of the judge's ruling could still happen. Last week, the judge granted a joint motion from CLIA and the city extending the deadline. The Juneau Assembly has until March to decide. In Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter.
Governor Mike Dunleavy's proposals for balancing the state's budget include a plan to stop the sharing of millions of dollars in taxes on commercial fishing with coastal communities.
The governor's budget is, the message he's sending is that we're out of time and we're out of money.
Matt Shuckero is the governor's press secretary. Landing and business taxes on fisheries, often referred to as raw fish tax, are collected by the state. Half that revenue is shared with the city and or borough where the fish is received or processed. Ending the revenue sharing would save the state about $28 million.
That requires legislation, so you'll see legislation introduced in the coming days to support the proposal that's in the budget, and that would be to remove the tax sharing of fisheries businesses' resources for municipalities.
That cost savings would largely be at the expense of communities with seafood economies. The city of Cordova is only about 2,300 people, but boasts the largest commercial fleet in Alaska.
We were operating on a $12 million a year budget, and we made significant cuts, largely in response to prior cuts by the state.
Revenue from fish taxes covers more than 11% of Cordova's city expenses. And while Cordova's seafood sector has been growing rapidly as one of the top 20 seafood ports in the nation, Copeland worries about losing such a large chunk of the city's revenue.
We're on a good trajectory. This is just like putting the brakes on, taking that local revenue to keep us supporting and growing our economy will be devastating, frankly.
That was Cordova's mayor, Clay Copeland. The communities of Sitka and Kodiak would also be hit, but the biggest blow would be to the city of Unalaska, home to the port of Dutch Harbor. It's projected to receive $8.3 million of its fish taxes, about 27% of the city's revenue. Turning now to weather, tomorrow will look a lot like today in Juneau, according to the National Weather Service, mostly clear with a high near 24 degrees. Wind gusts as high as 40 to 45 miles per hour are expected for this evening and throughout the day tomorrow. Snow is expected on Sunday, most likely in the evening after 9 p.m., and it will stick around for the Monday holiday and into Tuesday when it will likely turn to rain. Currently clear and 26 degrees at Juneau International Airport. I'm Jennifer Pemberton.